truly sorry. Truly sorry. Let's say that together. Truly sorry. Even as born-again believers, we can find ourselves committing the same sin over and over again. Can anybody lift an honest hand with me? Because I've been there. Anybody here ever been there? You're committing the same sin over and over again. And you're a born-again believer. It's a little frustrating, isn't it? Each time afterwards, we find ourselves being sorry for the sin, but eventually and inevitably, we sin that sin again. And it reminded me of the Apostle Paul's lament in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 24. Just make a note of it. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 24, a bracket of scripture there where the Apostle Paul laments about the repeated struggle with sin. And I would encourage you to use that bracket of scripture as a prayer framework as you come repentant before the Lord. You can put yourself right into that bracket of scripture and personalize it. How many of you here know that there's power in personalizing the scriptures? Amen? There's power in personalizing brackets of scripture in the Psalms that are essentially prayers. And we can personalize those and make them prayers of our own. Amen? And I would encourage you along those lines from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 24, where the Apostle Paul is going over the struggle with sin. Or maybe you can agree with me, but we can find ourselves caught in a cycle of repeating the same sin over and over again, a cycle that we may not truly want to stop. Because we enjoy the temporary self-satisfaction of that particular sin. I've been there. Yeah, I kind of want to stop that sin, but I kind of want to stop it. But I like the temporary self-satisfaction of it. Been there. And I know that each of you probably have been as well. The Spirit of God is searching our hearts and our midst today. As born again, spirit filled, professed followers of Jesus Christ, how motivated are we to sinning less and less? I mean, we say it, but how motivated are we to flesh it out? Make no mistake about it, the Holy Spirit convicts us of what is sinful, but how motivated are we to yield ourselves to follow the Holy Spirit's lead? The Word of God says that He always gives you a way of escape in the face of temptation. But how interested are we in taking that way of escape? Or do we enjoy the pleasure of certain sins more than we love Jesus? Do we love and enjoy the pleasure of certain sins more than we love Jesus? I would venture to say that as professed, born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we all want to stop sinning. How many of you here want to stop sinning? How many of you here say, Lord, I know I'm not going to be sinless, but I want to stop sinning. I want to stop this sin. I want to stop this repeating sin. I want to be conformed into the image of your Son. We all want to stop sinning, I would venture to say. But there are times when we can feel overwhelmed by a recurring sinful tendency, feeling like we don't have the strength to resist and overcome it. Has anyone other than me ever felt that way? We can cry out to the Lord with true sorrow, admitting our sin and asking for His forgiveness. But catch this now, the fleshly tendency and desire for that particular sin can still remain. And many times it remains because there is a demonic hold on you in that area of your life. And God wants to encourage you afresh today that if you're in a cycle of repeated sin, if there's a sin that's particularly repeating in your life and you can't seem to be free of it, then there's very likely a demonic hold on you in that area of your life. But here's the good news. You have the victory in Jesus. Amen. And you have the authority in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, to take captive and to break the demonic hold that's on that area of your life. Amen. But we have to appropriate that. We have to identify that. We have to identify, like I have had to do in my life. And it's taken some time. It's a process. It's a process. Let's say that together. It's a process. But we need to engage the process. When we discover that there's a repeated area of sin in our lives, we have to stop and say, why is that? And we have to entertain the probability that there's a demonic hold on you in that area of your life. But the good news is that you can say, with the authority of Jesus and with the power of Jesus' name, I break the hold. I break the demonic hold on this area of my life once and for all. I break the demonic hold on this area of my life. In Jesus' name, with the victory of Jesus, with the authority of Jesus that's been given to me, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms and thereby deputized with the authority of Christ. And with the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name, I decree a breaking off of this demonic hold on this area of my life. And I receive the complete and thorough hold of the Holy Spirit on that area of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Each and every one of you that has Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord with the filling of the Holy Spirit, you have that authority and capacity to break off those demonic holds. Amen?
Amen.
We just need to appropriate it. We need to do some inventory and say, man, why do I keep sinning that way over and over? I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I'm truly sorry. And I come repentant and I'm forgiven, but I keep tripping up in that. Well, there's a demonic hold that somehow at some point in your life, a demon got a hold of that and really got his grips into it. But you can break his grip. You can break every demonic grip through a prayer of declaration, appropriating the victory of Jesus with the authority of Jesus that's been given to you. Amen?
Amen?
And most importantly, once you break off that demonic hold, you can't just leave it at that. Now you have to replace that. Wherever there's a demonic hold and it's been broken off, you got to replace it. And you replace it with decreeing, I receive. And I'm sure there's other patterns for prayer, but I'm sharing with you the pattern of prayer that I've appropriated in my life that's been effectual. I receive the complete and thorough hold of the Holy Spirit on that part of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Now some people say, well, you need to know what the demon's name is, and you need to, if you don't know the demon's name, you don't need to know the demon's name. You can name the demon by how it's manifesting in your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just, that's what you name it. Whatever it is in your life. And you say, with the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name, I once and for all break off the demonic hold of whatever it is, fill in the blank on my life. And I receive the complete and thorough hold of the Holy Spirit. If you don't receive the complete and thorough hold of the Holy Spirit in that area of your life, then that area of your life is going to be vulnerable to a return of demonic influence in that area of your life. And so just a word of encouragement for you, that you have the authority and the power of Jesus' name to appropriate the victory of Jesus, to break off every demonic hold. And if you're experiencing a repeated area of sin in your life, then there's likely a demonic hold there, but you can deal with it. You can break it off. Because you have the authority and power in Jesus' name to do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a battle. It's a battle. But the victory's already won. Amen? I've been set free of areas of repeated sin in my life through this pattern that I just described to you as a discovery process. But if we're not going to engage that process, if we're not going to appropriate what we already have in Christ and the victory that we have in Christ and the authority that we have in Christ, if we're not going to appropriate that, if we're not going to engage that, then we're going to keep tripping up and keep tripping up. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but we're never free. But you can be free because whom the Son has set free is free indeed, amen? But the indeed part of it comes through you engaging it, amen? I'm getting a little excited. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you. Because God, by His Spirit, wants to wake you up and say, this is what you have. You don't have to keep tripping up in that cycle of repeated sin. This is what you have appropriated. Amen?
Amen.
Break out of the lethargy.
Amen.
Snap out of it and wake up. Amen?
Amen.
Stop moping around and tripping up in your repeated sin. Oh, I don't know what to do. I keep sinning in this area of sin. Oh, somebody help me. He's already helped you.
Yes,
right. Amen?
Yes.
All right, I'll calm down a little bit now. I hope you're encouraged a bit. Fleshly tendency and desire for that particular sin can still remain. We can deal with it effectively, but in each time of true sorrow, the Holy Spirit provides us with the comfort of a renewed determination to walk holy before the Lord. Amen? How many of you have experienced some of that? When you come before the Lord, you're truly sorry for that sin. You're coming repentant of heart. And in those moments, there's an exchange that happens. Amen. It's not a religious kind of a thing. There's an exchange that happens when you come truly sorry. When you come before the throne of God and receive His mercy, there's an exchange that happens. Amen. And the Holy Spirit gives you a renewed determination to walk holy before the Lord. Get back in there. Do good battle. Amen.
Amen.
Get your head out of the sand. Get back in there and do good battle. You have everything you need to prevail. Amen?
Amen.
God will not despise or reject a heart that is broken with true sorrow. Be motivated afresh today. True sorrow for your sin leads to repentance. A genuine regret for your sin that brings about a change of mind. Not just, oh, I'm sorry I got caught. But a true sorrow that brings about genuine regret for your sin, that brings about a change of mind, a renewed determination to turn away from that sinful behavior and attitude with the power of God's Spirit that's in you. Appropriate His power. I don't feel like I can turn away from that sin. I want to keep looking back at it. I want to see it out of my peripheral vision. But Holy Spirit, help me to turn all the way away from it. Amen?
Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right motivation of spirit within me. Is that the cry of your heart? When you're coming before the throne of God's grace to receive His mercy. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit of motivation within me. True sorrow leads to repentance, which goes beyond merely feeling sorry. To bring about a change in behavior and attitude. Amen?
Amen?
Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your salvation. And make me willing to obey you. How many of you recognize afresh today that when you sin, you don't lose your salvation? Amen?
Amen.
Even as a born-again believer, even if you're sinning in a cycle of repeated sin, and you're truly sorry for that, and you're truly repentant of that, you don't lose your salvation when you sin. You lose your joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And that's why King David said in Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." By the way, I would recommend Psalm 51 as another prayer that you could put yourself right into that prayer, because that's King David's prayer of repentance. After he sinned with Bathsheba and then killed her husband indirectly to cover up his sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful activity, it prompts us to godly sorrow. But how well are we cooperating with that prompting? The Spirit of God is searching hearts in our midst today. How motivated are we to being thoroughly pleasing in God's sight in light of all that He's done for us? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Peruse the road from Gethsemane to the cross every day and say, Holy Spirit, imbibe in me the thoroughness of what Jesus really did for me. Give me an experience of the reality of what Jesus did for me from Gethsemane to Calvary. I guarantee you, if you pray a prayer like that every day, you'll gain such an appreciation, a depth of appreciation for what Jesus really did for you. Not in a religious way, but an experiential way. You will be motivated like never before to be thoroughly pleasing to God in His sight. Amen?
Amen.
It takes a little bit of engagement in prayer with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is searching hearts in our midst today. Are we settling for repeated sinful pleasures? Are we taking advantage of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness to justify continuing in ungodly satisfactions? Oh, Spirit of God, come and search our hearts. Cleanse us, purify us, set us free. Purge us in the fire of your holiness. Purge away everything and anything that's in us that would keep us from being holy as you are holy, Lord God Almighty. The Apostle Paul cautioned believers along these lines from Romans chapter 5, verse 21, all the way through chapter 6, verse 4. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is cautioning each of us afresh today as believers. The Apostle Paul exhorting believers then, God by His Spirit exhorting us today. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules over us instead. Amen?
Amen.
Giving us right standing with God in Christ and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the redeeming power of Jesus' shed blood and the overcoming power of His resurrection, sin's power is broken. Amen? Sin's power is broken. Let's decree that together. Sin's power is broken. It's broken over your life.
Amen.
Ultimately, in the heavenly realm.
Yes.
Amen? But we're here on earth. But the heavenly realm can be done on earth as it is in heaven to the degree that we engage it. Amen? The Apostle Paul goes on to say, that being said, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace and mercy? Of course not. There were people in the Roman church that were rationalizing that. Well, I'll just sin more and more because I want to give God more opportunity to pour out His mercy upon me. Let me give God some opportunity. The Apostle Paul said, of course not. And God, by His Spirit, is saying to us today, of course not. Don't take your repeated sinfulness flippantly or lightly before the throne of God. Since in Christ we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that through our baptism in Christ, we are joined together with Him? Through our baptism in Christ, we are joined together with Him. And so we have died to our old selves, and we have buried our sinful ways, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives in Him. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is urging and motivating each of us afresh today, I believe, from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, that true godly sorrow that is in compliance with the Word and will of God produces a repentance without regret. I got to thinking about that. Does your sorrow regret not participating in ungodly satisfactions? That was the question the Spirit of God posed to me. Does your sorrow regret not participating in ungodly satisfactions? Does your sorrow bring you further into compliance with God's Word and will? Spirit of God, come and search our hearts. Find the answer for each person's life. Make no mistake about it, true godly sorrow leads to genuine repentance. And genuine repentance leads to transformation. Catch this now. That is evidenced by sinning less and less. Are you committing that sin less than what you did before? Can anybody lift a hand of testimony and say, yes, I'm sinning that sin less than I did before?
Yep.
We're not going to be sinless. But we can decide to sin less and less. Amen?
Amen.
By cooperating with the Holy Spirit's convictions that leads us into true godly sorrows and genuine repentance that is evidence, catch this now, evidence by changed behavior. Sometimes we can find ourselves negotiating with God. Anybody here other than me ever negotiate with God? One thing or another? Hey God, I got some ideas here. And I think they're better than yours. Anybody here have conversations like that with God? He just chuckles and says, bless your heart. But sometimes we can find ourselves negotiating with God. Was that sinful, Lord? Was that really sinful? I don't know if that was really sinful. I'm not sure that it is, Lord. I don't really know. Even as professed believers, we can find ourselves in willful ignorance, blaming others for our sin. And as long as we continue to make excuses or blame others for our sin, we will never discover the liberty and transformation that genuine repentance affords. Amen?
Amen.
Stop blaming other people. Stop finding excuses to continue in your sin. Be reminded afresh today, when we sin, there are consequences. Direct consequences, indirect consequences, short-term consequences, long-term, collateral, unintended consequences. But when we're genuinely repentant, catch this now, God, who is rich in mercy, can mitigate those consequences. Aren't you glad for that? We serve a God that's so rich in mercy that when we come genuinely repentant before Him, then He can decide to mitigate the consequences, to lessen the consequences. And or give you the grace to endure and prevail through the consequences.
Yeah.
The story of King David is a great story of that. After he sinned with Bathsheba, after he had her husband killed and tried to cover up his sin, okay, and there were a lot of long-term consequences that went along with King David's sin. Okay? But God gave him the grace to endure and prevail through those consequences. He did pay a price because the fullness of his reign wasn't fully realized. Okay? But he was able to prevail through the consequences. Amen?
Amen.
Understand this afresh today. Genuine repentance doesn't always shield us from the consequences of our actions. In God's sovereign providence over our lives, He will allow and disallow whatever He deems to be best for our greater good and for His greatest glory in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Spirit, is stirring in our midst today, I believe, to urge each of us afresh to take seriously like never before our approach to true godly sorrow and genuine substantive repentance. Because repentance, catch this now, can be a powerful spiritual weapon against temptation. When Satan brings that temptation upon us, we can decree in his face, I've repented of that. God's grace is sufficient for me. God's power is perfected in me. And I won't go back to it. Amen?
Amen.
I won't go back to it. Let's decree that together. I won't go back to it. Amen. You can decree the truth in Satan's face. And he has to flee. Amen?
Amen.
We don't have to tippy toe in the outer edges of the webs of temptation that he sets for us. How many of you here know that a spider web is designed, okay, to draw you right into the center?
Yep.
That's what a spider web is designed to do, and that's how Satan sets the webs of temptation for us. And all we have to do is just get our toes at the outer edge of it, and suddenly we find ourselves sucked right into the center of it. Unless we say, I repented of that, right in Satan's face. God's grace is sufficient for me. God's power is perfected in me. And I won't go back to that sin. Amen?
Amen.
The value of repentance is progressive. The Holy Spirit strengthens us and helps us through the repentance process. But catch this now. In order to experience the liberating transformation that repentance affords us, we must consistently acknowledge where we've gone wrong. Confess our sins. Decide to turn away from our sins. And decide to choose holiness every day. It's a choice. Amen? And you have the power of God's Spirit in you to give you the capacity to prevail in godly choices. Amen?
Amen.
Unless our sin becomes a burden that we no longer desire to continue in, we will never experience the fullness of liberation that repentance offers us. We must see sin as a repulsive odor in God's nostrils. We must desire above all else that the living sacrifice of our lives would be a fragrant aroma before His throne. Amen? We must view sin the way that God does in order to bring us to godly sorrow that leads to genuine, substantive repentance. Then He will show Himself faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen?
Amen.
True godly sorrow that leads to genuine repentance is turning our backs on sin. Stopping whatever we're doing that isn't pleasing in God's sight. Choosing God's way instead of our own way. Amen?
Amen.
Have you done a 180 on that particular recurring sin in your life? Or are you still looking forward in the rearview mirror? Genuine repentance doesn't mean the temptation to sin won't arise again in our lives. And so we have to choose holiness and righteousness on a daily basis, intentionally deciding to yield to the Holy Spirit's work in us, stripping off the garments of sinful tendencies to be clothed in the garments of godly tendencies. Amen?
Amen.
We need to engage that process. I surrender and I yield to the Holy Spirit's stripping work in my life. To strip me of the carnal garments and tendencies that are in me and clothe me in the garments of the divine and the holy. Amen?
Amen.
There's an exchange spiritually that happens in us when we engage the Spirit of God in that way. But if we're not engaging the Spirit of God in that way, there's not going to be any exchange. There's not going to be any change. Make no mistake about it, repentance requires us to make a change, to make decisions to change who we see, to make decisions to change where we go and what we entertain, to make decisions to change the music that we're listening to or the movies that we're watching or the thoughts that we're dwelling upon. We have to decide to make a change in those things and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Otherwise, the web of temptation is going to be right there before us and we'll find ourselves sucked in to the center of that vortex of temptation. Genuine repentance requires us to guard our heart, to guard our eyes, to guard our ears, to guard our thoughts and our mindset every day. Amen? Now, there are different yet closely related Greek root words in the New Testament that help us to understand the full meaning of repentance as set forth in the Bible. The first word is a little hard to pronounce. It's metamelomai, which indicates a change of mind that produces regret or even remorse for wrongs done. But catch this now, not necessarily a change of heart and action going forward. Interestingly, it's the word that was used in Matthew 27, verse 3, to describe the guilt that Judas felt over betraying Jesus. The second word, metaneo, means to change one's mind and purpose as the result of afterknowledge. So you come to a realization that that was sinful. The word relates to another word, metanoia, which is where the rubber hits the road in our application of true repentance. Metanoia is an awareness of one's own sin, an awareness of one's own sense of guilt in our sinfulness, with an accompanying helplessness in and of ourselves, apart from taking hold of God's mercy through Jesus Christ. A change of attitude and action regarding sin, and a progressive hatred of sin that consistently turns the repentant person away from his or her sin toward God. Amen? That's metanoia. It includes a radical and persistent pursuit of holy living, walking with God in steadfast obedience to His commands. Amen? Radical and persistent pursuit. Radical and persistent. Let's say that together. Radical and persistent pursuit of holy living. Psalm 119, verses 127 to 128 motivates us afresh along these lines. Lord God Almighty, because I love your commands more than pure gold, and because I consider all your directives to be right, then I hate every path that is wrong in your eyes. Amen? Amen? Do you really love all of the Lord's commands and directives? Do you really love all of the Lord's commands and directives? Even when they deprive you of what you might prefer otherwise? Spirit of God, come and search our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 continues to urge us afresh. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. That God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows all who are His. The Lord knows all who are His. And all who belong to the Lord, catch this now, must turn away from wrongdoing. Be reminded afresh today that the primary focus of Jesus Christ's mission was to call sinners to repentance. His call of absolute surrender goes out to all people, that unless you repent, you too will perish. Make no mistake about it. Genuine repentance involves a complete and irreversible change of mind and heart and actions, with the recognition that our sin is offensive to God, motivating us to make a heart-directed turn away from self toward God, away from the past toward a future that is thoroughly directed by God's commands and directives. Amen? Amen. With a consistent declaration that the Lord reigns supreme over our lives. The Lord reigns supreme over my life. The Lord reigns supreme over my life. Let's decree that together. The Lord reigns supreme over my life. One more time. The Lord reigns supreme over my life. Amen? I got to thinking about professed believers who are living out the dynamic of their lives without repentance. Anybody here know believers like that? Professed believers who are living out their lives without repentance. What about professed believers who refuse to turn away from sinful ways, remaining willfully sinful, but yet they profess to be believers? Make no mistake about it. Repentance is necessary for the outworking of salvation in our lives as professed believers. Amen? Amen. A professed believer who continues to live an unrepentant lifestyle will find themselves under the disciplining hand of God, which is meant to bring about right living in God's eyes through a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity with His will and purpose for their life. Amen? That's what the disciplining hand of God is for on a believer's life. To chastise and scourge us, even as believers, to get us back onto the path of righteousness. Amen? The Apostle Paul warned believers in the Roman Church Fellowship of the consequences of unrepentance. From Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Because you are stubborn, and refuse to turn from your sinful ways, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, and He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But He will pour out His anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, those who refuse to obey the truth of His word and instead live lives of sinfulness for their own self-satisfaction. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing proactively what is sinful. Trouble and calamity for those who continue to willfully disobey God's directives. But here's the good news. There will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who persist in doing good in God's eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Be reminded afresh today, there is a day of judgment coming, even for believers. There will be a judgment seat for believers. And the results of righteousness will be made beautiful for those who have endured to the end, but the consequences of the unrepentant will be harsh. Jesus is coming back, not to save the world, but to judge the world. And that includes us as believers. We're going to get to heaven, but He's going to judge our lives as believers. There's a consideration that a professed believer who lives in unrepentant, proactive sin may not even be a true believer. That's a possibility. The Apostle John addresses this possibility rather bluntly from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And he says, "And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commands. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. Jesus said, 'If you truly love Me, you will obey My commands.'" This is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they know God should purpose to live their lives as Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, be encouraged afresh today, saints of God. I know this has been a bit of a sobering message, but God wants to encourage you and to lift you. God's desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That all would come to repent. That's His desire. Not everyone will, but His desire is that all would come to repentance. And so let us not grieve Him in His patient long suffering with us, but rather let us make every effort to live lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now, as the word of the Lord has come to you today.